الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise, complete glory, perfection and submission is to our Lord, our Creator. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam, in the footsteps of those people who have sacrificed for the deen of Islam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all on this blessed, noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah azza wa jal accept our attendance, accept our sincere efforts and intentions, purify our hearts, strengthen our resolve, illuminate our minds and guide us back onto the path of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his noble companions and the noble Ahl Bayt. Ameen. In this beautiful month of Muharram, thus far we have discussed how it is a sacred month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month which marks the Islamic Hijrah, which is, marks the Islamic year and the beginning of the formal calendar of Islam. It's also the month within which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet Musa alayhi salam great success over Fir'aun and safeguarded and protected Bani Israel. It is also a month within which a great tragedy and calamity occurred, whereby Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and sacrificed himself in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we do not do matam, i.e. we do not mourn, we do not hit ourselves, we do not rip our hair out, we do not injure ourselves, because this is not the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and neither it is the way which has been commanded by Allah azza wa jal. But rather we accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the way other great Sahaba ikram and illustrious Sahaba ikram had also passed away and they gave their shahada in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we celebrate their lives. We do not mourn, but rather we celebrate their lives and we learn from their sacrifices. We take ibrah from their lessons and the instances that took place, and we make sure that we transform ourselves and our actions to prevent history repeating itself. So inshaAllahul Aziz, today we will talk a little bit about the life, the beautiful life of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Qur'an, He gives us a very important message, which is قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. That if you make this claim, which we all do, whether your iman is strong or weak, whether you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or further away, we all have this embedded claim within our hearts and our mind that we all love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a certain degree, to a certain quality. We all have this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to make that claim, then you must qualify that claim. You must validate that claim. You must prove your claim. And how can we prove our claim? By going to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you love Allah azza wa jal, then what must you do? to show your love, to prove your love. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Then in turn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and accept your love. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a very important lesson of loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And when we do that, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will also love you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also forgive you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to love Him, to love the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we learn from the Sunnah, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala sallam states that you need to love my family, love my Ahlul Bayt, my family, which is Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and all of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat and the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We must have this respect and this honor and this reverence and this love and affinity towards the Ahlul Bayt, which is commanded by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and only then will our love be complete, i.e. the circle be complete. But we as human beings, we also love ourselves, and we also, without a doubt, love our children. We do everything for them. We're ready to sacrifice our life, our health, our wealth, everything that we have for our children, for the love of our children. So children are a form of our love, and they are our present, and they also are our future. They not only continue our bloodline, they continue our lineage, our hasab and nasab, they also continue our name, and they continue our culture to a certain degree. But more importantly, our children are a means for us to continue our religious legacy, to continue that da'wah, to continue the tawheed, to continue the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have, the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that we have, the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the love of the Sahaba Ikram. This is what our children are actually meant to do, to continue that spiritual legacy and that religious legacy. So we must not just prepare them for the dunya, which is the majority of our concern and our primary focus here in the dunya. We just want to make sure our children can talk and walk and clothe themselves and bathe themselves, and we educate them and we make sure that they are well off, i.e. they are settled down, they have a family, they have a job, they have children, etc., etc. But most importantly, we fail to prepare them for the principles of Islam, for them to be ready for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them to be ready to sacrifice in the way of Allah azza wa jal, for them to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the hereafter. So this is a much more grave task that we must all undertake, to ensure that our love does not blind us from preparing our children for their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for them to see that they must have a greater and a higher purpose of love, which is to love the Ahlul Bayt, love the Sahaba Ikram, love the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma were the grandsons of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he treated them very much like his own sons. He showered them with a huge amount of affection, of mercy, of compassion and love. And he was always there. And one of the reasons for this is because the purpose of a prophet is to inform you of that which is unknown and the unseen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of what would occur to the likes of Imam Hassan, and also what would occur in the future to Imam Hussein. And this is why Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and when he used to walk in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara, he used to do a dua that, "Oh Allah, raise me before the 60s. The 60s in terms of the 60th Hijrah. Because he knew that this was the time of great fitna, of trials and tribulations. He was informed to a certain degree by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam of the great calamities that were about to come in the 60s. And in the 60s is when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and was martyred. So this is the dua that he used to do. So we learn that from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he knew of the future of his grandsons, and this is why he showered as much love and mercy that he could on his children. But not only did he do that, but he also made sure that he prepared them for their journey ahead. He made them strong. He made them resilient. He made sure that they knew the principles of Islam, the soul and the ethos of Islam, and what they needed to stand up for. And not just shower them with so much love that they became so fragile that they didn't know when to stand up, when to speak, and what to say or what to do. No, your deen teaches you to make sure that you prepare your children, not just physically and intellectually and emotionally, but you also prepare them religiously for the return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in various ahadith, he mentions that, "Oh Allah, I love them both, so you also love them." This is a dua that came from the heart of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, he said that, "Oh Allah, whoever loves me and whoever loves these two," i.e. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, "and loves their parents," Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, "what will be a result of that love, that expression? They will be with me on my level on the day of Qiyamah." Subhanallah. On that day when there will be billions and trillions of people, nobody will be able to get even close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But those people who truly love the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, love the Ahl Bayt, love Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and his parents, they will be on the same level with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So we see and we learn from this very important lesson that yes, it's important to express your love, to shower your love on your children and also your grandchildren, but make sure that you also prepare them for the reality of the dunya, the reality of their deen, for the reality of the principles of Islam, and for their ultimate return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instilled within their hearts and their minds what? The love of the dunya, the love of wealth, the love of women, the love of commodities? No, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the deen, and imbibed within their hearts the principles of justice, of ikhlas, of sincerity, of adl, of insaf, of truth, no matter the cost. This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught. And these are the the principles that we need to teach our children, to have that integrity, to speak up, whether it is against their own parents or family or neighbors, or wherever it may be in society. When they see wrong, they speak up against wrong. When they see bad, then they speak up against that bad and that evil. Because this is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, that كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. These are the mandates given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was very close to her father, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And one day she was sitting there with her own father and said, "These are your sons. So what will you bequeath to them? What will you give them in their warasat, in their inheritance?" And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, imagine now, before we read the hadith, imagine what you would say if your daughter came to you and said, "My father, these are your grandchildren. What will you give them?" We'll think of, "Oh, okay, I'll give them some land, I'll give them some property, I'll give them some gold, some silver, some wealth, I'll give them something monetary, you know, in terms of tangible things." But these things can also corrupt an individual, distract an individual, and take him away from their purpose and their deen. But look at the response of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that, "As for Hassan, to him belong my appearance and my power." The shuja'a, the power, the strength of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and his beautiful appearance of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, that face that people would look at and they would say, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah." That face that people would look at and they would fall in love with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. This is the face and the appearance and the power that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam bequeathed to Imam Hassan. And as for Hussein, he mentions, "To him belong my courage and to him belong my generosity." This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Because money and wealth and all of these things, you have it today, you will end up wasting it, or somebody will take it away from you. Nobody can take away your courage. Nobody can take away your generosity. Nobody can take away your appearance and your power and your... Because this is all internal. And this was not just taken off a shelf and given, and here you are. But no, it was placed in their hearts. every single day that they spent with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He taught them about generosity and about power and about appearance and about courage and about adl and insaf, all of these principles. So ask yourselves as parents and ask yourselves as grandparents, how do we spend our time with our children and our grandchildren? Do we just fob them off with a console or some sweets and some chocolates and something and say, here you go, take that and that's it? Or do you actually sit down with them and spend quality time with them and give them from your experience and your knowledge and give them something which they can take for the rest of their life and that will benefit them, not just in the dunya, but more importantly will benefit them in the hereafter as well. This is what the Prophet ﷺ gave his children. So don't just allow the love of your child to distract you from actually teaching them and giving them the most important things that they actually need to survive in the dunya and for them to prepare for their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ knew about the aftermath. He knew about what was about to come for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Otherwise, why would he say this? Because everybody would be judged on their a'mal. But in spite of that, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he knew, he was shown, he was given this knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he said, if it delights someone to look at a man among the people of the Garden of Paradise, then look at Al-Husayn ibn Ali. This is the person who is from the Gardens of Paradise. This is the person, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. They are the leaders of the Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. They are the leaders and the princes of Jannah. This is who they are. How did he foretell this? How did he prophesy this? Because he could see what they were about to go through. He could see the decision that they were going to make and the sacrifices they were going to make as informed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So prepare your children. Prepare them for the greatness of their return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just prepare them for the dunya, but actually prepare them for the hereafter, for the deen of Islam, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the love of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Hussein was not only just loved by the Ahl al-Dunya, he was also loved by the Ahl al-Sama, he was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the angels. Especially why? Because he was from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And that family which Allah Azza wa Jal also records himself in the Quran by saying, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. That for all of the sacrifices the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did for the Ummah in Mecca, in Taif, in Medina, and all of the wars and everything else that they did, everything that the Prophet ﷺ did, he said, I don't require you to pay me back in monetary terms or give me anything else. I only ask one thing of you. What is that one thing in return for the services that I have done? That you be good towards my family. You be kind and merciful, and you maintain ties with my family members. You do wafa with my family members. This is what the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked from us. So we need to know, we need to recognize, and we need to make sure that we do wafa to the family of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Can somebody please put their AC back on, please? Just in the corner. We check the button dubara. Garmi kafi ho rahi hai. Just in the corner, please. Thank you. And furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions in Sahih Muslim that he gave us a nasiha, that أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. And he not just said that once, but he repeated it a second time and a third time. أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. And I'm reminding you, and I'm reminding you that you make sure that you remember my Ahl Bayt, you remember my family members. Why? We remember them for their greatness, remember them for their sacrifices, remember them for their services to the deen of Islam. So the foundation of Islam is what? Is Tawheed, is monotheism, it's to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Islam rejects all forms of nepotism, it rejects all forms of despotism, it rejects all forms of tyranny and idolatry. We only bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not bow before idols or tyrants or statues or individuals. And those people like Fir'aun, those people like Nimrud, and other people who claim to be leaders, but they are inherently corrupt within themselves, we Islam does not bow down to them. We do not bow down to them. And this is what Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and was teaching us with his sacrifice, that he could see this going on, and now people taking power and utilizing it for their own wealth and their gain, and for them becoming gods themselves. ourselves. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى, taking their whims and their desires and becoming like gods unto themselves. He could see this, and this is why he came to say, no, you cannot do this. And you have to remember that we only worship and we submit and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and he completed the mission of all of the prophets. What is that mission? The mission of sacrifice. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ, that this, yes indeed, in relation to the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was willing to sacrifice his son in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did so. But we also see here another great example of this فَدَيْنَاهُ بِزِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, where Imam Hussein not only sacrificed himself, he sacrificed everything that he had in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His own sons, his own nephews, and the 72 members that were there with him, the loyal followers who were there to uphold justice, uphold the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all sacrificed themselves in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they knew that this dunya was arbitrary, this dunya is finite, but وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created, had established the hereafter, which is far better, and something which is far everlasting. They knew, and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew, that those people who are slain, who are martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not the end for them, but rather, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ, but rather they are alive, and they continue to receive their provisions and their sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was martyred, he continues to live in our hearts and also in our minds. And there was a call, he continues to live in our hearts and also in our minds. Whilst Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and is remembered not just in the month of Muharram, but throughout the year, those tyrants are forgotten and nobody remembers their name and nobody follows their examples for their corrupt ideals and for their corrupt actions. Whilst those people are hated and despised, we show and express our love for the Ahl Bayt, the love of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the love of those people who have sacrificed what they had in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst Imam Hussein is visited by the millions throughout the year at his shrine, other people who became gods unto themselves, those people who abuse their power and their wealth and their control, those people are rejected, those people are neglected, and those people are overlooked. So if you want your legacy to continue, then you need to make sure that your legacy connects you to the Sahaba, it connects you to the Ahl Bayt, it connects you to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which can then connect you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you will become a no one and you will not be remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the deen of Islam. So the sacrifice of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was against the tyrant ruler Yazid at that time. And this is a lesson for us all as Muslims. There's also a lesson there for us as humanity, that through his sacrifice, he taught us to stand up against oppression, for us to stand up against injustice, whether that be within your home, within yourself, within your community, wherever it may be, we need to stand up for justice, because this is who we are, and this is how we have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Imam Hussein saw during his time was that he could see that there was a change in the objectives of the state and the rules. The rules were being changed. What was haram was being made into halal. What was permissible was made impermissible. And fahsha and munkar, and all of these things were spreading far and wide within the community and society. Why? Because they had corrupt rulers and they allowed this corruption to spread. So he wanted to stop this corruption and to protect and preserve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of his grandfather who spent his entire life to make sure that it was pure and it was presented to all of humanity. He saw the decline and he saw the neglect in humanity, in the government at that time, of enjoining right and forbidding that which was evil. He saw all of the fundamental principles of Islam and the Islamic constitution changing. So what did he do? Did he stay quiet? Did he say, oh, it's got nothing to do with me? Did he say, just because I'm not in power, I won't do anything? No, he stood up and he spoke up. And this is all something that we need to learn from as well. Whenever you see any injustice, any zulm, any darkness, whether it is religious or social or cultural, we need to speak up as human beings, we need to speak up as Muslims, and especially when we see Islamic principles being eroded away and things being made into grey, things being made into halal or haram, we need to make sure that we speak up. So ask yourself, within yourself, what do you see? What do you do when you see something which is wrong? What do you see around you in your society? And what do you do about it? Do you just put your head down and say, it's not my problem, somebody else will deal with it? Do you allow that cancer to continue to spread? Or do you stop it? Or do you attack it? What do you do? And this is one of the last speeches of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and that he gave. He said, O people, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that those who see such a tyrant ruler who makes the haram of Allah halal, who breaks the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who opposes the sunnah of Allah's Messenger, who treats the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sin and oppression, then if that person who is seeing this does not attempt to change this through his sayings, i.e. through his words minimum, or through his actions at least, these are the two things that we have to do with our words or with our actions, then what will happen to that individual on the day of Qiyamah? That individual who saw this but didn't say anything and didn't do anything, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be put in the same station as hell as that oppressive ruler. So we have this very, very important mandate given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal and given to us by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We see evil, we do something about it. We don't just stay quiet. We say something, or we do something within our physical, our intellectual, our financial power and capability to change that. We don't just walk away and say, oh, let it be. So this is the legacy of Imam Hussein, that he was brought up and he was given everything and prepared, not just for the dunya, but prepared for the hereafter to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as parents and grandparents, we need to make sure that yes, we love our children. You prepare them for their Islamic principles and prepare them to be ready to sacrifice for the deen of Islam, for them to be ready to stand up and to speak up, or at least do something within their power to maintain the Islamic principles and a way of life. Otherwise, when we return, we'll all be questioned, just as our children will be questioned. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to learn from the sacrifices and the life of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu.